work that God is doing in the Himalayas, but it's always feels like coming home because this is home for Mountain Child. And maybe you're new here today, or you're new in the nations here in the last several months. You don't know a lot about Mountain Child or about the missions work that God is doing through this church. So when I'm back in town, if you don't also know, then my wife and I, we reside in Kathmandu, Nepal, together with our three children, where we've been for several years now. And there we head up the work of Mountain Child. And that work started right here in this church several years ago. And it's exciting, as Young Ho said, to see how God has continued to blossom that work. As a matter of fact, it's staggering, not just in the Himalayas, but how God is using Mountain Child as a trumpet and a platform to herald the cause of the unreached around the world and to call other people into that great task of exalting Christ amongst communities and peoples where His name has never been heard. And there's a lot of motivations when we talk about missions that people list, and I think they're all good about why we should be involved in missions. You might say, sitting here, well, what could I really do from Suwon? Or, you know, that's just not my thing. Oh, don't, please be careful saying that, because it's the thing that the body of Christ is called to do. It's the mandate upon the body of Christ to herald the name of Jesus Christ amongst anyone who has never heard it. Now, you don't have to travel across the world to get that done. You can sometimes do it across your apartment block hall. You can find people who need Jesus Christ, amen, or in your break room at work, wherever you might be. But there is a really special, I believe, task in front of us, where here 2,000 years later, after the birth of the church through the apostles and the disciples and the book of Acts, as they took that message to the ends of the known world in their day, that it's still not accomplished. There's still work to be done. And for those of you who maybe think there are no more frontiers, the days of the pioneers are over, now we're in a new age with technology, we can reach everywhere, I've got news for you. There are places on this planet where technology does not reach, where the gospel has never been, and it needs pioneers. It needs people who will go through the arduous task of going into places that are unreached. And one key component about all unreached areas, there's a reason they're unreached. It's because it's hard work to get to them. It's hard work, maybe on a geographical scale, on a social scale, on an economic scale. There are barriers that exist that have kept people isolated, cut off from the gospel. And we, as the Church of God, as the Army of God, as we've sung this morning, have a great call and mandate upon us as His church to invade this earth and to take the gospel into every single part. Can I hear an amen? And so as a church, we can go as one body. We can go as one voice. And I know that's what we're doing. If you weren't aware of it, then that 10% of all the income that comes into the church from tithes and offerings goes directly to the work of Mountain Child in getting the gospel into communities where that name has never been heard. And I know that might be difficult for us to imagine in a place like Korea, where at night you can look up and see red crosses all around, or maybe your country of origin, wherever you've come from. Maybe you've grown up like I did, where there is a church just about every couple of miles, or maybe even several within a square mile. And it's hard for us to imagine that there are places on the planet that are completely void of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that have never even heard that name, that have never even heard of what a church is, that have never had access or an opportunity to hear the gospel. And so for those of those communities that exist in the world, I have not found any that are more remote, more cut off than those in the Himalayas. And so that is the work of Mountain Child. We're not trying to win the world, even though that's a great task. We are concentrated in on the Himalayas and on the remote ethnic Tibetan Buddhist communities that live high up in those mountain valleys. And it's to those people that we feel called. And mountain child, has gone through an exhaustive research, over a decade of research in the Himalayas, collecting information and data on 24 ethnic Tibetan unreached people groups. And if you could imagine, there are about, in the world today, there are about 2 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And we have a great luxury in sitting in a place like this today to enjoy worship and to enjoy messages and to hold Bibles and to be able to listen to sermons online. But there are much of the world that is void of that. And we can't forget the mission of God that He has for us. There are still frontiers today to be conquered. And there are different motivations for mission. One of them is that our commander said, go and do it. He gave us a great commandment. That's a good motivation. There is that they have not heard before. That is a good motivation. But I think for me, and as those in the ranks of Mountain Child, as we have continued to gravitate towards this purpose of God, for us there is one single motivation that outweighs them all, and that is to give God all of the glory that is due His name. That the chief aim in missions is to exalt God and to give Him the praises of every single tongue, tribe, and nation in this world. See them worship God and their Creator. And so, as I've given an example before, like a keyboard that has multiple keys, and each one of those keys sounds a different note and tone and makes a beautiful melody in its diversity, so are the nations and the ethnicities and the languages and the tongues designed by God to all sound their unique tone, to all reveal a different side of the majesty of God. And God is jealous. God is anxious to obtain what He purchased through the blood of His Son, and that is the redemption of every single tongue, tribe, and nation. And He's not going to stop, and He's not going to come back until He's got what He's paid for. And He's paid for all of those groups. And so our chief aim in missions is to bring them into the worship of their Creator. Amen. Well, that gives you a little bit of the perhaps depth and background as to why we do this, why as a church we're involved in this. But today I want to update you with a little bit of a report from the field on some new and exciting things. I'm going to rehearse a few things that, because I know this community, there's new people that come in all the time. And so I don't want to leave anyone out in some of the important bases for Mountain Child. Yeah, I'm going to take you through a little geography lesson here, but we can first look at the purpose of Mountain Child, and that is this. We have, because we are operating in what is technically considered a closed country, that means missionary activity in Nepal is illegal. They don't grant you a visa to go and preach the gospel in Nepal. They have an unusual set of laws in Nepal that says it's not illegal to be a Christian, it's just illegal to become a Christian. You figure that one out. Yeah, but that doesn't stop us. We move forward, but we have to do it very carefully. And we have to do it kind of underground and around to try to avoid some of the unwanted persecution. We're not afraid of persecution, but we also want a long-term work. We've got some long-term goals, and so we want to be smart, because if we go too overt, then we get kicked out of the country, and the national workers and laborers and indigenous workforce that we're working with so strongly there also suffer a lot greater than what we do. So we have to be really careful. So on our website, maybe you've gone on to it. Maybe you've looked and tried to research, or maybe you picked up some literature, which we do have in the back. You've read through it, and you might come away saying, well, what about these guys? There's nothing about Jesus Christ in this. I get that quite often. Are you ashamed of Christ? Why won't you even mention Him? And I know that can create some confusion for some, but we do that for a reason, so that out there in public domain, there is nothing that could jeopardize our long-term gospel-orientated eternal intentions in a place where great persecution exists and there is real security concerns for our long-term personnel in the Himalayas. So that's why we do that. But things are changing, and I'll introduce in just a few moments how we're going to circumvent that. But the purpose is stated, this is kind of our secular purpose. Mountain Child exists to empower Himalayan children with the skills to become carriers of hope to their tribes and villages. All right, for those of you who don't know where Nepal is, it's right here. It's sandwiched in between Tibet or China and India. It's considered a part of South Asia. And I talked to a lot of people, never even heard of Nepal. They might have heard of Mount Everest, but they don't realize it's actually in Nepal, and it's actually right about in this area right there. So there's South Asia and Nepal. For those of you from the United States or familiar with the United States, if you were to overlay the Himalayas over the U.S., this is the amount of land space it would take up. So if you wanted to walk from somewhere, let's say North Carolina, or if you wanted to get from North Carolina to somewhere, maybe Arizona, you would have to walk because there's no roads that cross those Himalayas, only in a few little places. So imagine that you have to put all your goods on your back and walk all that distance. All right? I think it's something like 5 times the length of Korea. So it gives you a little bit of a scale and a size of the landmass of the Himalayas. All right. Then also, if you've been to the Rocky Mountains, which are very famous in the U.S., they're at about 14.4. The Himalayas are double that size. So everything in Nepal that is under 15,000 feet, they consider a hill. Everything 15,000 to 30,000 feet, they consider a mountain. So it really redefines for you. And these are the places, some of the places that Mountain Child is working in throughout the Himalayas. You've got three sections here. You've got this lightly colored blue area here, which is called the Terai. It's the flatlands, the plains, and it's just that. It's fields and it's flatlands. Then you've got the middle part of Nepal, which they call the hills, which again is everything 15,000 feet and lower. And then along this northern ridge, you have the Himalaya, which is everything 15,000 feet and over. They really don't consider it a mountain in Nepal unless it has snow on it all year round. That's how they define a mountain. All right, and then for Mountain Child, we have 5 core issues, and you can pick up information in the back on the table, which outline, and these are really how we begin to package and help to really organize ourselves in these issues. Number one is health. Half the children born in the Himalayas die before their 8th birthday. Leading cause of death is diarrhea from contaminated drinking water. Number two, trafficking 16,000 children, young girls, usually average age 12. That average age is actually coming down. It's lower now. It's closer to 11 years old. Are trafficked every year. This is just outside the country. There are tens of thousands more of girls that are trafficked inside the country. If you don't know what that term traffic means, it means they go into brothels against their will. All right? And that's where they're held and service, you know. A couple years ago, as we were in the brothels, you know, girls young as 9, 10 years old who are servicing 20 to 25 customers a day. Unimaginable horror. And that goes on while we're sitting comfortably here in this room in Kathmandu. They're servicing customers. And it's something that the world has to gain attention about. I think that's happening, but it can't happen fast enough. Education is lacking in the mountain areas. There's reasons for that. Child labor is a huge issue. These young boys are about 12, 13 years old, and they carry upwards to, I think they're allowed to carry 70 kilograms. So what is that, about 120 pounds, 150 pounds on their back, strapped to their forehead. This is what they do all of their day, and they make their income that way. And up the mountains, up the Himalayas. All right, and then finally, environmental issues is a big concern for Mountain Child because of the crop loss of 40%. All right, I'm going to take you in here and show you. This is a monastery, and this is how in Tibetan Buddhist culture, every family it's compulsory or mandated that you give your firstborn child to the monastery. That's how they keep their ranks replenished. And so this is a monastery that I visit on a regular basis high up in the mountains. And they come in as young as 5 years old, and they spend their life there, and they work within the monastery. All right, and so here is kind of an ethno map. This is version one. This is actually a couple of years ago. But it lists out the 24 groups, ethnic Tibetan people groups, that Mountain Child is working amongst. We've improved this map about a year ago into this one, which is a culmination of a I get about a 10-year research project, and a 2-year project was carried out on each one of these, what's called an ethnographical research project, which goes in and identifies the 37 factors that form each one of these groups' worldview, how they see the world and how they answer those big questions that we all have. How did we get here on planet Earth? What's the purpose of us being here on planet Earth? And by identifying kind of scientifically those questions, 37 of them, it allows us to then take those the answers and begin to build a curriculum of Bible stories that is a great match for their specific worldview. That's a little bit, and that process takes about maybe 10 years. And then on the back of that information, translation work begins to take place for getting the scriptures into their language. So from start to finish, it is a 50-year project to get the scriptures into their heart language. It's a big work. It's been going on for a long time, and we're so proud to be joined hands with wonderful organizations like Wycliffe, others who are working towards translation projects amongst these 24 groups right here. All right, not all of them, but several of them. And then here's another version for us. Actually, this is our Google Earth version. So we are building a model, and this might not interest you, but I think it's fantastic for us as an organization. We're building a model inside, actually, AutoCAD, if you're familiar with that. All the information is put into AutoCAD, and then it is overlaid on Google Earth, and we're able to hold now in AutoCAD all of the data that would be required, whether it's medical data, whether it's language data, whether it's ethnicity data, where our development projects are. If we're going to go in and design a water system, we can zoom into Google Earth with the contours and figure out how much materials we're going to need. And that is being worked on around the clock by people all over the world that are inputting data right here. And this is just a little framework. These, again, are the 24 unreached people groups. If we were able to go in and zoom, I could take it down into the valley and show you actually those villages and where they live. Maybe another mission update, we can do that. This is a little bit of our strategy map, which you'll also see right back there at the back of the hall, and some of the areas where we're seeking to bring answers through education, medical aid, clean water, and community development. Then we have a program called The Ranch, which stands for Remote Areas of Nepal Children's Hope. And it is a program across the Himalayas that rescues children that if we don't intervene, life is over for them. And so sometimes that can be because of abuse. Sometimes it can be because of harsh medical conditions, maybe intestinal worms, that if they don't get help, life is over for them. And so for those children, we intervene and have centers where we rescue those children. And then we can see over a long period of time, we can begin to see opportunities open up to share Christ and to influence them for Christ. And then we are really believing and hoping that these young lives become the carriers of hope to their people, both naturally speaking and spiritually speaking, for generations to come. And so our whole strategy is aimed at empowering a new generation of children from the mountains. That's the name, Mountain Child, to be the long-term sustainable solutions for their tribes and communities. That's really the heart of Mountain Child. We want them to go back and take eternal solutions, the eternal message of Jesus Christ. And so that program has been going now for about 14 years in Kathmandu. And now we've seen children come through the entire program. Now they've graduated the program. Now they're in Bible college, and now they're going back on a regular basis to share Christ amongst the communities that have really great need. And sometimes we have had one young girl went back and share with her parents in those communities. Her parents confessed Christ. She came back to Kathmandu, and then her parents were martyred. That's some of the real stakes that exist at the top of the world for getting the gospel where it hasn't been. There are barriers, and sometimes those barriers wear interesting disguises. And it's really been the monastery that has been our chief, I don't want to use the wrong word, but opponents to getting the gospel into those areas. And so you can pray that God does a wonderful work inside their hearts. And we actually had a, if you're familiar with the Tibetan Buddhist kind of monastic hierarchy, we've had a lama, which is the chief the chief Buddhist in one of the monasteries, actually just this past spring, show a real, genuine interest in Christ. And so we were able for several days to share Christ with him. And we do that through several interesting means. We do that not by taking a Bible in and not by going through the scriptures, but we do it through art forms. And so if you were to remember that picture that I showed you of those young monks in the monastery, all of the walls in the monastery are painted in a beautiful patterns, and they tell stories, and that's called a tanka. And many of them will have a wheel that depicts the cycle of reincarnation. All right? And so there are beautiful new evangelism tools and art forms that are out there that are Christian tankas that have, they look just like the ethnic Buddhist tankas, but they, instead of having a wheel of reincarnation, they have a wheel or a circle that depicts the life of Jesus Christ, ultimately ending with eternal life, which answers the key question or provides them the escape that they're looking for from an endless procession of past lives in reincarnation. They're all interested in eternal life to break out of that cycle, and Jesus is that wonderful answer. So it's a beautiful fit. It's a beautiful form of evangelism that we really use now just about everywhere we go. And you pull that tanka out in a village and people swarm to it. And they want you to tell the stories and explain it to them. It's a wonderful platform for telling the good news of Jesus Christ. So here's, the country of Nepal. I'm just going to take you in and show you a few things this morning of new projects that we're working on. I mentioned to you the trafficking. It's young girls like this who are trafficked into the brothels of Kathmandu. And many of them, 16,000 of them last year, were actually put in vehicles, carried over the border into India. And most of your Indian brothels, whether it's in Mumbai or Delhi, they are filled with young Nepali girls because they're more innocent, they're easier to trick, they don't speak the local language, so escape for them is very, very difficult. They can't communicate. If they do escape the brothel, they have a very difficult time making it all the way across India back home. And so young girls like this have a horrible fate. There is an idea that exists that children cannot contract AIDS. And so they're seen as the safer option for predators. And these young children, usually within 2 years, contract AIDS, and the medicines that are available in the West are not available to them. So a part of the way that we're combating that is this is our art therapy program. For those girls that are able to be rescued, they've gone through such trauma that they cannot begin to find the words to express what they've gone through. And that coupled with the fact that in that culture, women don't have a voice. So they're not used to being able to express what they've endured or gone through. And so we're using art. This is a therapeutic art program. John and Soyon Thompson, who were here just a couple of months ago, they run this program. And this is just a recent photo of an art project they did where young girls come together and they begin to crack the door into their heart, begin to get some form of expression of what they've gone through, and that as that door is cracked, it gives entrance to the healing power of Christ to come into their heart and to begin the wonderful process of God restoring them. You know, God has a history of using even prostitutes for his glory and his kingdom. You can go back to the book of Joshua and read the conquest of Canaan and look at the city of Jericho. And it was Rahab, the prostitute, that actually was the key secret to taking that city for God's purposes. And we believe that these young women who are rescued from the brothels, their lives are redeemed by Christ, they are restored, that God is using them even today to scale mountains and claim their villages for Christ. That, I believe, is a secret weapon that God is still using today. And so that's our art program. They gather right here several times a week and they do various projects. For those of you who don't know, this is our son, Hudson. And this is a new water system that we're employing just for the first time. This is actually a mold, a steel mold. It takes about four people to lift. Inside of this, you can turn it upside down. You can see it's hollow in the center. Then we can pour concrete into it. Then let that dry, turn it right side up, break the mold off, and we've got what is called a COST, C-A-W-S-T filter. It's approved by the World Health Organization. Then you fill that up with different types of media or sand, clean sand, and then you put water through it, and you've got pure drinking water that comes through. It actually comes at a greater volume, but I couldn't find the other shot. It's beautiful clean water that is a wonderful source that can be provided as a solution to these remote communities. So that's one of the exciting new developments that's been going on just in the last couple of months. Maybe some of you have heard of this, but this is our Highland School of Frontier Missions. This is our mission training center that exists just outside of Kathmandu, about half an hour. And this is where we are raising an army of resilient disciples who will obey Christ regardless of the consequences. It's not a bad motto for us around here, is it? To obey Christ regardless of the consequences, whatever it means, whatever fate befalls them, they're going to take the gospel to where it's never been. And that's really what a disciple is. And they're being raised to herald the message of Jesus Christ. And so they are taken from across the nation in proximity to areas that are completely void of the gospel. They're brought in, they go through a training process, and then they're launched out. And so this is one of our chief projects. It's ongoing right now. So on Monday, not tomorrow, but a week from Monday, we'll be back in that school and ministering. And this is the group of students as they were preparing to go out on a mission assignment. Some of you might recognize Hak Jin. He's Korean, and he is now the director of our training right there in Kathmandu. And he leads those students and prepares them and sends them out into mission. They go three times a year. They're in class for 6 months, but during that class instruction, they take three breaks, and they're sent out and launched out into unreached areas for some very practical hands-on evangelism training. Not just head knowledge, not just Bible study, not just feel-good time, but actually out there doing the work of the evangelist. Another little hint, yeah, for us all. It's good to read the Bible, but it's also good. It's good to be on our knees, but it's also good to be on our feet out there taking God's message where people need it most. Amen? Oh, you're so quiet. All right. Yeah, I can take you back here and show you this young guy right here. His name is Norbu. He was rescued out of the mountains 14 years ago. And I could tell you the heart-wrenching story of what led him to needing to be rescued, but just it suffice to say that he was under incredible physical abuse, and unless we stepped in and took him out, life was over for him. So 14 years ago, we rescued him. He went through our ranch program. Now he's about to graduate from our School of Frontier Missions. He's a worship leader, and he's leading an initiative amongst his people group to take the gospel there. He goes back several times a year. He leads many of these students there, and they proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in the spite of the great persecution that they still currently face in those remote mountain communities. Real heroes of the faith. All right, this is just a set of blueprints. We're building two of these buildings right now. The project is underway in two places. We've had land donated to us in two different spots. In one of those places, we're building a health post to bring medical aid into a community that has never had. They have a doctor that serves about 10,000 people, and you have to walk maybe 3 to 4 days to reach the doctor. And the reason they call him the doctor is because he went to a 3-day training for medicine. That, in their mind, qualified him to be a doctor. So he is considered the medical expert because of the three-day training. You can imagine some of the things that have happened on the back of that. He's got a good heart, but they need help. And so we're building a medical post there, actually a birthing center as well, because of the high infant mortality rate. We're coupling this next to the school that we've been involved in and are helping to operate as another way to really bring tangible help and to serve as a platform for the gospel. So what we have seen happen over the years as we have continued to help them in the very tangible ways that they suffer in, that has led them to ask us the question, why are you here? Why are you doing this for me? And we feel like we have a great answer and a wonderful opportunity to introduce Christ and say it's because of the love of God that we're here. Let's help you naturally, but let's also help you eternally. And their hearts and minds are open. And so that's happening in this place right here. So that mountain right there is 28,000 feet. Not sure what that is in meters. 28,000 feet. It's the seventh highest mountain in the world. Mount Everest is just under 30,000 feet. It's called Manaslu. And just on the other side of this is a valley that stretches across here. It's one of the valleys that we've been working in for well over a decade and have development projects, water projects, sanitation projects, a school, all throughout this valley. And there's a school here in Gap, and this is where we're building this facility right here. Putting one here and one down here in a place called Korlebesi, and then up this valley, and if you take this valley to the right, you enter a brand new people group. This is the Nupri people. Actually, in this valley, there are about three different unreached people groups. In this valley, there are about two different unreached people groups. And right here, we're able to build what we call a gateway project, which has a school, a medical post, community center, several different components to this gateway project that will act again as a platform, because anyone who wants to come out of this area, from here to here is about a 5-day walk, and from here down to here is about the same, but they've got to come down here to get to a road, which is still another 2 days, and so they'll pass through the gateway project, and there they'll interact with us. We'll be able to help them, offer them some models for clean water facilities, for sanitation facilities, some new kind of technologies that they can employ in a sustainable way in the villages where they've come from. And then we can also have a wonderful opportunity to share Christ, and we're planting a church there as well. So those are some of the exciting things that are happening right now. Those pictures are just taken on the last couple of months, if not weeks, about the projects that your funding is going to help us and it is making possible. So I want to say a heartfelt thank you for all of you who are making an investment with your tithes and offerings. I want you to know that it is going to the frontiers. It's going to extend the boundaries of God's kingdom where it's never been before. And one more thing that I'd like to share with you. I mentioned that Mountain Child has not been able to have a public forum to talk about our religious activities. We've not been able to do it for fear of jeopardizing our personnel and putting them at risk. But that's now changing. And so we are forming a new kind of entity. And that entity is so that the world can understand and know what we're really doing for unreached people groups. And I'm telling you this in advance because this is something that's coming within the next 6 months. And we're calling that the Footstool Project. And our objective in that is taken from Hebrews chapter 10. I spoke on this two or three Sundays ago about making Christ's enemies his footstool. And we can do that in our own personal lives, but we're also going to do it in the Himalayas. We're going to make those communities the footstool of Christ. We're going to make them subject together through the means of love and through God's weapons of righteousness by leading them into a relationship with Christ. We're going to bring the Himalayas to the footstool of Christ. That's the Footstool Project. And so this is the forum that we'll be able to very openly discuss all of the Christian nature inside of our activities and share that with the world. So you can, it's going to be thefootstoolproject.com. And here's a little mock of a website that's going to be going up here in the next few months. And we're really excited about this. We have so many partners from around the world that are knocking on our door, really big movements in different countries, national movements that are hearing of what God is doing in a place like Nepal, that's hearing about what God's doing here in Suwon and how the origins of the work right here are now scaling mountains and claiming them for Christ. And there are people who want to be involved. Big, big, big opportunities for us to join hands together and to really do something for the kingdom of God. So that is our little mission update for today. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. We need your prayers to continue. We need you to visit. I know there's a team coming right here from the nations, I think by the end of this month. I'm so grateful. Let's keep that going. keep interceding for us. Keep joining hands with us. Keep your giving coming, because it's being applied to, I think, one of the grandest, most cosmic tasks that we could ever possibly be involved in, and that is giving God all the glory that he possibly deserves. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that have come to our heart today. We thank you that there is something cosmic for us to be involved with, Father, and that is the proclamation of your name into the ends of the earth. Romans chapter 10 tells us, Father, how shall they hear without a preacher? How blessed are the feet of them that go and bring good news. Father, we have people from such diverse backgrounds in this room today, and we might have people here kind of asking the question, well, what can I do? How can I be involved? Father, I pray that it starts with a work deep inside of our heart. A deep work of tapping into your heart for humanity and being played out in our own families, being played out in our own communities, our workplace, amongst the relationships that you've given to us and the opportunities that perhaps we pass by every single day. Open our eyes to those opportunities. Let us live the life of a disciple who obeys you regardless of the consequences. Father, let us lead us wherever you want us to go. Put your words in our mouth and empower us through your Holy Spirit to stand up and be bold witnesses in all of the earth. Father, thank you for the privilege of joining hands with such a beautiful group of people right here in Suwon to do a work that rescues, that brings redemption and healing and eternal life to those who sit in darkness. Father, I pray that you will continue to strengthen this bond, this unity of faith, that you would add to our union in so many spiritual ways, natural ways, to cause our instrument to become sharper and more focused to do more good for your wonderful kingdom. Father, thank you for touching hearts today and for leading us into your glorious mission. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.